And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Archbishop of Canterbury has enlisted the help of his celebrity friends, Bear Grylls and Dame Mary Berry, in an attempt to make the Bible accessible for children. They will read the Jesus Storybook Bible, written and illustrated by Sally Lloyd-Jones and Jago, which has sold over 6 million copies, helping children across the world discover the good news of Jesus Christ and God's love for them. It has adapted the book for a new on-screen format, 6 Bible stories from the feeding of the 5,000 to David and Goliath, which are read aloud following an introduction from the Cheeky Pandas, an animated children's series. Survival expert Grylls reads the story of David and Goliath, while Mary Berry, chef and former judge on the Great British Bake Off, tells of Jesus feeding the 5,000. The film version of the book aims to help ensure it is enjoyed by people of all ages, many of whom might be discovering the Bible for the first time. Welcoming the 6-part online series, the Archbishop said, "We all love stories. They remind us who we are, what we are here for, and how best to live. Jesus loved telling stories. They tell us who God is, how much he loves us, and what his plans are for us. The stories of God are told in the Bible. To open the Bible up is to open up to God's voice. We are never too old or too young to hear about God's story. I'm beyond delighted about this project." Sally Lloyd-Jones wrote the peerless Jesus Storybook Bible to engage children in these stories of God which make us. 6 of them have been recorded by friends of mine, from Bear Grylls reading the story of David and Goliath to Mary Berry telling of Jesus feeding the 5,000. My prayer is that they are watched and listened to far and wide. These stories are for children to listen to and watch with their parents at home, their teachers at school, their friends in after-school clubs, and on their own, anywhere and everywhere. And what I know will happen is that as we listen to these stories, we will find ourselves invited to be an essential part of God's story. And there is nowhere better to be than part of his story. The collaboration comes after a survey by the charity Care for the Family found that despite 95% of Christian parents recognizing the importance of teaching children about their faith, fewer than 3/4 shared Bible stories with them, and only 27% engaged in faith-based conversations. Gemma Hunt, a TV presenter and author who tells the story of Jesus calming the storm in the series, added, "It has been such a delight to be part of this wonderful project. Reading the stunning scripture in the Jesus Storybook Bible has really brought the stories to life, again, in a new way. It is such an honor to have them read aloud, which is how they were intended to be heard. I hope our versions inspire families to read them together and share in the precious word of God." A 15-year-old boy is accused of attacking Bishop Mar-Mari Emanuel, a senior figure in the ultra-conservative Assyrian Orthodox Church, and wounding 3 others during a live broadcast of a sermon. At least 30 people, including 2 police officers, were injured when angry crowds congregated outside the church to demand vengeance on Monday night. Chris Minns, the New South Wales Premier, said thousands of police officers were deployed to protect religious organisations and structures in order to avoid retaliation or tit-for-tat violence. The incident has prompted Anthony Albanese, Australia's Prime Minister, Richard Marles, his deputy, and Penny Wong, the Foreign Minister, to convene for an emergency security meeting with the heads of the Defence Force and ASIO, the country's spy agency. Karen Webb, the New South Wales Police Commissioner, confirmed on Tuesday morning that she had declared the alleged assaults at Christ the Good Shepherd Church a terrorist act. Strike Force Katrina has been established to investigate that side of events last night, and a referral has been made and agreed to by the Joint Counter-Terrorism Investigation Team, Ms. Webb said, noting the teenager had made comments centered around religion when he approached the bishop. She said investigators believe the incident could be considered religious motivated extremism. Police confirmed the boy was known to police but not well known. "He wasn't known to us from a terrorism point of view. He was not on any terror watch list," Ms. Webb said. "This is the first time this individual has come to our attention in this manner." Graphic footage captured during the Monday evening mass showed a person dressed in black approaching the altar and launching a furious attack on the bishop's head and upper body. Father Isaac Royal suffered a shoulder wound and multiple lacerations when he tried to intervene to stop the attack, police will allege. Officers were later forced to barricade themselves and the suspect inside the church when hundreds of people gathered to demand vengeance for the stabbing, the second major knife assault in Australia in 3 days. Dominic Morgan, the state's ambulance commissioner, said paramedics were holed up in the church for more than 3 hours during the violence, which resulted in at least 30 people requiring medical treatment. A police constable sustained a twisted knee and a chipped tooth after being hit with a metal object. Another constable sustained a broken jaw after he was hit with a brick and a fence paling, NSW police said. Two other men who intervened inside the church were treated in hospital for minor injuries. The teen suspect underwent surgery on Monday night for a hand injury sustained when witnesses held him down on the floor. Rumours swelled among the community that the boy's finger had been cut off. Acting Assistant Commissioner Andrew Holland said his injuries are quite severe in his hand, he's fairly upset and fairly distraught. In a post shared to the church's Instagram page on Monday night, a spokesman asked the mob of angry protesters to leave in peace and pray for both the victims and for the teenage suspect. We ask for your prayers at this time, a spokesman shared to the church's Instagram just before midnight on Monday, said. It is the bishop's and father's wishes that you also pray for the perpetrator. A Sardinian priest has found a novel way to spread the gospel amid waning interest in the church by doing it over a beer. Father Antonio Maria Cosu, known as Don Totoni, has been parish priest in the small town of Biti for the past 7 years. Though attendance at his church remains healthy, the 67-year-old admits many of the faithful are absent and only come for special religious festivals, weddings or funerals. Rather than badger them into attending, Mr. Cosu started holding evening sermons in nearby bars, promoting them with leaflets entitled Evangelical Half Pint, Talking Jesus. My vision of religion has never been one of operating behind the closed doors of a sacristy or to wait for people to start coming to Mass, he told The Telegraph. I've always wanted to be in the middle of people, not separated. You have to be in church, but you also have to get out where people live. Since starting his 7:30 p.m. sermons 2 years ago, 10 bars in Biti have signed up to the initiative. People have welcomed this proposal. They listen to me with sympathy and respect for 40 minutes or so, and at the end we have one or two beers together, he said. The gospel plants the seed, and God does the rest. I thank the baristas of Biti and all the people who welcome me for their hospitality and the opportunity they give me to bring them the word of Jesus, said Mr. Cosu. I am optimistic that our town will retain its faith. Mr. Cosu, who was born in Sardinia, has been a priest for 44 years. Before arriving in Biti, he worked in other parts of Italy and also served as a missionary in Argentina, where he met Pope Francis. I remember him, but I don't know if he remembers me, he laughed. According to a Pew Research Center survey in 2023, 78% of Italians say they are Roman Catholic, but the statistics agency Istat says only 19% attend services at least weekly, while 31% never attend. Churches are closing at rapid numbers in the US, researchers say, as congregations dwindle across the country and a younger generation of Americans abandon Christianity altogether, even as faith continues to dominate American politics. As the US adjusts to an increasingly non-religious population, thousands of churches are closing each year in the country, a figure that experts believe may have accelerated since the COVID-19 pandemic. The situation means some hard decisions for pastors who have to decide when a dwindling congregation is no longer sustainable. But it also has created a boom market for those wanting to buy churches, with former houses of worship now finding new life. About 4,500 Protestant churches closed in 2019. The last year data is available, with about 3,000 new churches opening, according to Lifeway Research. It was the first time the number of churches in the US hadn't grown since the evangelical firm started studying the topic. With the pandemic speeding up a broader trend of Americans turning away from Christianity, researchers say the closures will only have accelerated. The closures, even for a temporary period of time, impacted a lot of churches. People breaking that habit of attending church means a lot of churches had to work hard to get people back to attending again, says Scott McConnell, Executive Director at Lifeway Research. In the last 3 years, all signs are pointing to a continued pace of closures, probably similar to 2019, or possibly higher, as there have been a really rapid rise in American individuals who say they're not religious. Protestant pastors reported that typical church attendance is only 85% of pre-pandemic levels, McConnell said, while research by the Survey Center on American Life and the University of Chicago found that in spring 2022, 67% of Americans reported attending church at least once a year, compared with 75% before the pandemic. But while COVID-19 may have accelerated the decline, there is a broader, long-running trend of people moving away from religion. In 2017, Lifeway surveyed young adults aged between 18 and 22 who had attended church regularly for at least a year during high school. The firm found that 7 out of 10 had stopped attending church regularly. Some of the reasons were logistical, McConnell said, as people moved away from college or started jobs, which made it difficult to attend church. But some of the other answers are not so much logistics. One of the top answers was church members seem to be judgmental or hypocritical, McConnell said. And so the younger generation just doesn't feel like they're being accepted in a church environment, or some of their choices aren't being accepted by those at church. About a quarter of the young adults who dropped out of church said they disagreed with their church's stance on political and social issues, McConnell said. A study by Pew Research found that the number of Americans who identified as Christian was 64% in 2020, with 30% of the US population being classed as religiously unaffiliated. About 6% of Americans identified with Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, or Buddhism. Since the 1990s, large numbers of Americans have left Christianity to join the growing ranks of US adults who describe their religious identity as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, Pew wrote. This accelerating trend is reshaping the US religious landscape. In 1972, 92% of Americans said they were Christian, Pew reported, but by 2070, that number will drop to below 50%. And the number of religiously unaffiliated Americans, or nuns, will probably outnumber those adhering to Christianity. Stephen Bullivant, author of Nonverts, The Making of Ex-Christian America, and professor of theology and the sociology of religion at St. Mary's University, said in the Christian world it had been a generational change. While grandparents might have been regular churchgoers, their children would say that they believe in God, but not go to church regularly. By the time millennials came around, they had little experience or relationship with church going or religion. In the Catholic Church in particular, the sexual abuse scandal may have driven away people who had only a tenuous connection to the faith. The other thing is the pandemic, Bullivant said. A lot of people who were weekly attached to suddenly have months of not going, they are then thinking, well, we don't really need to go, or we found something else to do, or thinking, it was hard enough dragging the kids along then, we really ought to start going again next week. Bullivant said most other countries saw a move away from religion earlier than the US, but the US had particular circumstances that slowed things down. Canada, Britain, France, Australia, New Zealand, the nuns rise much earlier. The wake of the 1960s, the baby boom generation, this kind of big growing separation of kind of traditional Christian morality, Bullivant said. What happens in America that I think dampens down the rise of the nuns is the Cold War, because in America, unlike in Britain, there's a very explicit kind of Christian America versus godless communism framing, and to be non-religious is to be un-American. I think that dampens it down until you get to the millennial generation for whom the Cold War is just a vague memory from their early childhood. When people leave, congregations dwindle, and when that gets to a critical point, churches close. That has led to a flood of churches available for sale and a range of opportunities for the once holy buildings. Brian Dolhide, Managing Director of AD Advisors, a real estate company that specializes in church sales, said the last 10 years had seen a spike in sales. Frequently, churches become housing or care homes, while some of the churches are bought by other churches wanting to expand. But selling a church isn't like selling a house or a business. Frequently, the sellers want a buyer who plans to use the church for a good cause. Dolhide said he had recently sold a church in El Paso, which is now being used as a housing for recent immigrants, and a convent in Pittsburgh, which will be used as affordable housing. The faith-based transaction is so different in so many ways from the for-profit transaction. We're not looking to profit from our transactions, we're looking for the best use that reflects the last 50 or 100 years' use, if possible. And finally, before Pastor Jamie became a pastor, he tried several other jobs. He was very safety and cost-conscious and would go around turning off switches, lights and unplugging machinery, which is probably why he got the sack from his job at the hospital intensive care unit.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.